Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, the 49th chapter, verses 13 through 16. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exalt, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me." Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. This is the word of the Lord.
Our New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 15 and 16. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. One day, some parents brought their little children to Jesus so he could touch them and bless them. But when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents for bothering him. Then Jesus called for the children and said to the disciples, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So a couple years ago, I was standing around the start of a marathon, waiting for the gun to go off, and just listening to a couple ladies behind me talking, eavesdropping. And they were talking about how much running a marathon was like giving birth. I mean, they were excited about it, but they were dreading it. It was going to involve a fair amount of suffering, but, you know, the result was going to be worth it. And there was this mix of expectation and joy and dread and all of the things that went into it. And I got to thinking how much not just giving birth, but parenting is a lot like running a marathon. It is a massive energy investment in getting one of these little human beings from being a baby to being a human who can take care of themselves. The amounts of energy and persistence and enduring suffering that go in to raising little humans is immense. And none of us sitting here today would be here if someone hadn't done that for us. Not one of us said, "You know, I think I want to be alive. Let's make this happen." Not once. There is not a single self-made man or woman in the history of the world. That's a myth. Jettison it right now. You did not make yourself. Somebody else did that for you. If you exist, it came to you entirely as gift, independent of anything you chose or worked for or deserved. It is because someone else gave you life, suffered and sacrificed for you, and hopefully wanted you and loved you deeply, that you are here. That we are all born this way, helpless, unless someone else feeds us, shelters us, protects us, loves us, holds us. That God set this world up like that has to tell us something about God, right? The design always says something about the designer. And God set up our experience of being human in this way that the most important thing about us, that we exist, comes to us as a complete and total gift. Something that comes to us through the agency of our parents. And in a unique and powerful and beautiful way, especially you, moms. We gather weekly to remember God, to remember the gifts he has given, that he is our creator and our savior, that he has given us life, and that he cares for us. And I think it is appropriate that we take a day and thank God for the gift of you mothers. Thank God for the gift of each of our mothers. For like God, they too have given us life and taken care of us. In fact, I believe that you mothers bear the image of God in a unique and powerful way. Genesis 1:27, the start of the story. I love this. God says, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry on the ground." So God created human beings in God's own image. In the image of God, God created them, male and female, God created them. There's this really toxic myth that men were created in the image of God and then women were kind of a knockoff. But that is not what the text says. That's not what it says at all. It says male and female reflect the image of God, right? Like, anything else is just a cheap fraud. Male and female reflect the image of God. And mothers, I think there may be few images of God and God's love as powerful as a mother's love for her kids. This is precisely what God uses in describing his love in the text that Trish read in Isaiah 49. Listen to this again. When God wants his people to know how much he loves them, this is what he says. "Sing for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on them in their suffering. Yet Jerusalem says, 'The Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us.' Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she no longer feel love for the child she has born? Even if that were possible, I would never forget you." You want to know how much God loves you? More than your mom. That's pretty impressive. Because we've seen just how profound and wonderful a mother's love can be. The way a mom will selflessly give of herself to her children over and over and over is absolutely inspiring. I believe it is an incredible reflection of God and what God is like, of God's love for us. I've had a wonderful privileged front seat to watching a mom at work over the last 11 years, almost 12. That's you, Abby. Not you, your mom. Watching Heather care for our kids, watching how she gives of herself, how she delights in them, how she will go to any length to take care of them and do what is best for them. Heather loves to sleep. It's one of her spiritual gifts. If I were to try to wake Heather up, my life would be in danger. But I have seen her repeatedly, when one of the kids walks in, wake up, and when they look into her eyes, they see love and delight. That's amazing. It is spectacular. You can probably think of ways your mom showed you incredible love and delight, and maybe you weren't even aware of it. In fact, I know from a dad's perspective, I had no idea what a parent's love was like. Like, I did not understand a bit how my parents loved me until I had kids, right? It is only after you had children of your own that you could even begin to fathom just how much your parents care for you. It is very much in this construct that God asks us to consider God as a father and a mother. That God loves us like we parents love our kids, but even more. A wise woman said, "Next to God, a mother's power for good is the strongest known on earth." Think about that. Because we know, right? Who's affected our lives most? Our parents, our moms, our dads. I mean, being a dad is cool, but honestly, you moms have a little bit more power. Maybe it's that we dads get distracted. I've noticed for me, I can tend to get busy with things that are more important than my kids, as if such a thing existed. Whatever my job or my work or my list of things to do today is, I can sometimes, and I'm so sorry, children, for when this happens, but see you as interruptions to the real work. Because you're not. You're the most important work there is. Moms get this. Moms tend to let the kids cut through whatever is going on. With kids, moms are always available. They do a way better job of remembering that nothing matters more than their children and that their kids always have access, which is exactly what we see Jesus doing in this text that I read from Luke 18. The parents bring their kids to Jesus and want him to bless them. The disciples say, no, he's got more important things to do, right? He's a busy guy. He's saving the world. Leave him alone. And what's Jesus' response? Nope. This matters most. Let the children come to me. We have access to our God. We always have access to our God because our God loves us just like a mother. Our God is always there with open arms, with a warm smile, with joy and delight and compassion. If you had a difficult or hurtful relationship with your mother, I am so sorry. It's not supposed to be that way. Know that in the face of such deep woundedness, God is still longing for nothing more than to hold you and to comfort you and to heal you. And we as a church want to be there for you as well. Those of you who have had hurtful relationships with your mothers can testify that mothers' choices do make an incredible difference, for good or for worse. But mothers, I hope what you hear today is gratitude. We are so thankful for you, for the energy you pour out, for the time and the love you so unconditionally give. Second, I hope you are inspired. This love that you give changes the world. It changes human beings in the most important and powerful ways. There is no higher calling. There is nothing more important on earth than a mom. You bear the image of God. And this does not mean you have to be perfect. Just being a person who is unconditionally and unequivocally for us, who loves us no matter what, who is there when we need to talk, who is interested in our lives and delights in us, there is nothing more vital to our thriving, our joy, and our life. Thank you. One of the things that fascinates me most is the psychology of gratitude, of how being thankful and grateful changes us as human beings. And they're beginning to discover that there is actually nothing as powerful for our brains as practicing gratitude, remembering to be thankful on a regular basis. The psychology of gratitude kind of implies a gift, that we are grateful for things that are given as opposed to things that are earned, right? It implies in some ways a debt. And interestingly enough, Aristotle refused to recognize gratitude as a virtue because he thought people of virtue shouldn't owe anyone else anything. I think Aristotle was a jerk, and that sounds a lot like pride. The truth of all of our existences is that we are the recipients of incredible gifts, and we will never come close to repaying them all. We've been given a world, mountains, oceans, trees, streams. The gift of water alone blows my mind. We've been given life, breath. We've been given love, care, shelter, food. I deeply believe that gratitude isn't just a virtue, it is the only appropriate response to reality. As Jesus told his disciples, freely you have received, freely give. Gratitude is simply admitting and entering into reality. I've been thinking about this week, and the thought occurred to me, with that gratitude, what if we tried loving the other people in our lives as if we were mothers? What if we tried extending that kind of unconditional love to the people around us? Not just to our own children, but to everybody's children, to God's children. What if we tried to love every single human being in our lives the way our mothers loved us? How would that change the world? I think we wouldn't see anyone else as competition or threats anymore. We'd see everyone as an opportunity. We'd start pouring ourselves out and being willing to invest ourselves in their lives, to welcome them, to care for them, to accept them. You know this. Mothers, what could your kids do to make you stop loving them? Not a thing. What can we learn from that about what it means to love well, about how we are loved by our God? Of course. This changes everything. I remember growing up, my mom had to take off somewhere, and I got left with a group of kids. It was probably a church function, and I was probably 5 or 6 at the time and was a little concerned about my mom leaving me alone in this group of people. And I remember saying, I had a really good friend, Ryan Dye, and I loved his mom, Cheryl, too. And my mom said, "I've got to go, but if you need something, just ask Mrs. Dye. She's a mom, too." And I remember thinking, of course. She's a mom. I'm going to be okay. Right? That made perfect sense. She's a mom too. Oh, yeah, I just need to ask a mom. That's going to take care of it. And it does. Because when we're responding, oh, you moms, thank you. Thank you, every single one of you, for the way you love. The way you love your kids, the way you love the rest of the kids. This is this wonderful invitation for us to enter into sharing that same kind of love. That's why God sets the world up like this. There's no way you could get into it without a mom. What if we pour out that same kind of love on the people around us? Moms, thank you so much for showing us what that love looks like. You have our gratitude. Join me in singing our song.